In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observe the star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us your word this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Carol and the choir opened the service, and we will close it by singing one of my favorite childhood Christmas carols, "We Three Kings." Now, to be honest, I think as a kid, what I really loved was the "Oh," repeated over and over again. I also liked the driving rhythm, da 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 da. But it was mostly from this carol that I learned the story of the wise men and their visit to Jesus, which turns out, however, to be a bit of a problem, because what the carol taught me and was more about myth and tradition than truth. If you place what we just heard in Matthew next to this Christmas carol, you begin to wonder if we're even talking about the same story. For example, "We Three Kings." We Three Kings. Kings. The only kings referred to in the scripture are King Herod, and, of course, Jesus, the newly born king of the Jews that the wise men seek. Now, the visitors from the east are referred to as magi, wise men. They're astrologers. Our word magician comes from the same root word. They studied the stars and the planets, trying to predict and understand events that were happening on Earth. They undoubtedly dabbled in the arts of magic and alchemy. They were not kings, but wannabe advisors to kings. Then there were the number of visitors. We Three Kings of Orient are. Nowhere in the passage does Matthew tell us how many magi there were. There are three gifts, and that is probably why we assume that there were three wise men, but really, one person can give multiple gifts, and a group can come together to give one gift in three parts, right? Then there's that baby Jesus that they presented their gifts to. I always pictured the wise men showing up at the stable right after the shepherds had left. You know, the shepherds came to see this thing that they had been told about. They found the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger. They take off, and I just picture the kings arriving right on their heels. It's what's depicted in most of the 81 nativity sets that were on display at my house this Christmas. So that is the answer to those of you who participated in the game at our open house. 81 nativities. Kathy Shamp came closest among our crowd. She guessed 79. Guesses ranged from 27 to 157. But there was a woman from Tustin who edged Kathy out. She got 82, only one off. So, but as much as I love my creches, they get it wrong. As wrong as the carol. First of all, the wise men are told that they enter a house when they arrive, not a stable. Furthermore, Matthew refers to Jesus as topaidion, translated the child, or perhaps more accurately, the toddler. This is reinforced by Herod, who, feeling that his power is threatened, in the next verses in Matthew, will ascertain the exact time of the star's rising and then order all boys, two and under, to be killed. Which makes sense when you think about it logically, for how could the star rise in the west, the wise men determine its meaning, make the long journey to Bethlehem all in one night. So in spite of the tradition and the song, there is no biblical basis to believe that they were kings, that there were three of them, or that Jesus was a newborn when they arrived. However, none of this diminishes the impact of this chapter in Jesus' life, for there is a general idea that we can take from this story of faith. In fact, New Testament scholar Raymond Brown calls this story of the wise men the essential gospel in miniature. For in the response of the wise men to the gift of Christ, we find direction for our own life and faith. First of all, when the wise men recognize the star, they get up and follow it. They don't settle for just head knowledge. A new king has been born. Isn't that wonderful news? I'm so glad to just know that. No, and they didn't settle for wishful thinking. Wow, it would be great to see the new king, but you know, it just isn't practical. It would take so much time and money to get there, and the trip would be risky. We might not even find him when we get there. It's better just to stay where we are. They don't even talk themselves out of believing the truth, you know, as a way to excuse their inaction. There's no hedging. You know, I think that's what the star means, but you know, maybe I've got it wrong. Or no excusing. That's certainly good news for those people out west, but it doesn't really have anything to do with me. They wouldn't want us to come. After all, we're outsiders. That child isn't for us, it's for them. And there's no doubting. Human births aren't reflected in the heaven kind of thinking. Instead, they believe and they go, ready to take the risk for the wonder, ready to offer what they have, ready to believe and to live that belief. They go, fully expecting to find the child and prepared to honor him. For they bring gifts with them. There is a statement that went around social media a couple of years ago. I don't remember seeing it so much this year. But it asks the question, what if the wise men had been three wise women? Well, then they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. But it wasn't three wise women. It was however many wise men. And the gifts they gave were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which at first glance appears to be the most impractical of baby gifts, but are actually very intentional and beautiful. Gold, a gift fit for a king. It represents wealth and power. It acknowledges Jesus' position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense, on the other hand, was a tool for worship. Excuse me. Gosh, that tickle. This The gift of frankincense is an acknowledgement that Jesus was worthy of worship, that this baby was God come to earth, and myrrh was made into an ointment to be used in embalming the dead. The gift of myrrh acknowledged that Jesus was human and foreshadowed his suffering and death as the Savior of the world. Their gifts, while at first glance odd and impractical, were actually acknowledgments of the life Jesus was born to live, a king in disguise who is worthy of worship, but who would also experience pain and suffering. Then, having found the child, they present their gifts. They paid attention to the nudging of God and in their dreams, and then returned by another way. There's no suggestion that they knew what Herod was planning, that they were suspicious that by going back by way of Jerusalem, they were putting the baby Jesus at risk. Rather, I suspect that they had been changed by their encounter with Christ, that something within them had shifted when they offered those gifts, and that it was no longer possible for them to simply continue on as if nothing had happened. I suspect this because my experience is that that is what happens when anyone comes face to face with Jesus, even a little helpless toddler Jesus. They cannot help but be changed. And so for me, the lesson of the wise men is that we too are called to follow whatever it is that can lead us to Jesus. For us, it isn't likely to be a star in the west. It is more likely to be a person or a yearning or a new thought. But when followed, it leads us to that same holy presence where we too find ourselves kneeling and offering gifts. Again, probably not gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but the same things that those gifts represent. Gold. We give what we have. We give our loyalty and allegiance to Jesus, for that is what is due a king. Frankincense. We give our devotion. We worship. We pray. We love. For that is what is due God, and this child is God with us. And myrrh. We give our lives, our humanity, our brokenness. For Jesus was born to be with us in all of that, to experience it with us. And the best that we can offer in return is our lives. And finally, like the wise men, we allow that encounter to change us. We don't try and compartmentalize our life, saying that our faith is good enough for us when we are in times of trouble or for Sundays when we come to church, but instead allow Jesus, God with us, to become a part of every moment of every day, to change our hearts, to change our dreams, to change the course of our lives, which is at the heart of the Epiphany tradition of chalking doorways. We did this last year here at church, and we're going to do it again after worship today. It is a spiritual practice for the first Sunday in January. It is an act that invites Jesus to move into the center of our lives, into our homes, and to change us. Chalk that is taken home by families and individuals to use to mark the doors of homes, So what we invite you to do is to take some chalk home with you today, along with some instructions. Yourself or all of the members of your household should gather outside. The numbers of the coming years are separated by three letters, CMB, that are written somewhere around the door. So when it's finished, this year it would read 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 18. 2018. The two meanings are suggested for those letters in the middle, the CMB. Some say that it represents the initials of the legendary names given to the wise men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, remembering that the first who followed the star to honor Jesus and committing ourselves to do likewise in the coming year. I think it's more likely to represent a Latin phrase, Christus mentionem benedicat, which translated reads, Christ bless this house. Everyone then enters the house through that door. If you really want to go with the tradition, you step through the door right foot first, literally starting the new year on the right foot. Our family chalks our doorway each year. And after worship, we will chalk doorways of this house of God. I'd invite you to do the same when you get home. Acknowledging that Christ abides with you. And in that light of that reality, that you want to travel through 2018 in a new way. Even if you don't literally chalk your doors, I hope that you will commit yourselves, your homes, our church, our lives to God for the coming year. Let me close with a poem by Jan Barry from a book, Bread for Tomorrow, that I believe sums up this epiphany hope for the coming year. It's entitled, God With Us. God of gold, we seek your glory, the richness that transforms our drabness into color and brightens our dullness with vibrant light, your wonder and joy at the heart of all life. God of incense, we offer you our prayer, our spoken and unspoken longings, our questioning of truth, our search for your mystery deep within. God of myrrh, we cry out to you in our suffering, the pain of all our rejections and bereavements, our baffled despair at undeserved suffering, our rage at continued injustice. And we embrace you, God, with us, in your wealth, in our yearning, in our anger and loss. I invite you to also now join me in the prayer found in your bulletin. Let us pray. Lord, like us, this chalk is created from the dust of the earth. As we use it to mark our doors, mark our hearts with your living word. Help us to serve you with all our strength, to worship you with all our heart, and to follow you through all that life has to offer. Amen.